And welcome back to the Eye on College Football podcast here on CBSSports.com. I am your host, Chip Patterson, and we are going to keep going with these 2013 season previews. And joining me for the first time in this 2013 season, you will hear him frequently as a guest on the Eye on College Football podcast. It is CBSSports.com college football insider Jeremy Fowler. Jeremy, how are you doing?
I'm great, man. I'm great. We should do these every day.
You want to sit down and record them? We could have done that for training camp. Had like two-a-days where we record one podcast in the morning, one in the afternoon, just to make sure our vocal cords are nice and strong for the season.
Yes, yes. Do a podcast for every team.
Oh,
even
no.
Army.
Armies, they're going to be... they're going to play real hard. They'll probably win 2 to 3 games, and they'll be real frustrating to defend. All right, now let's go to Navy.
Yeah, exactly.
But Jeremy is joining me so that we can, of course, talk about the ACC. Jeremy joined me at ACC Media Days this year, and we had a good time taking a look at what I sort of call this truly a league in transition, and it connects on lots of levels. First, it talks about the actual expansion. We got Pittsburgh and Syracuse making their debut this fall, and Louisville on the way with Maryland, an original member, on their way out. And then you've also got some of the what you would think would be the traditional powers, your Florida State, your Clemson, your Miami, sort of all recruiting pretty well, and the trajectory seems to be pointed in the right direction. Jeremy, how far have we come from a time when really it seemed like the ACC was going to get eaten up and we were headed to four super conferences?
I'm still trying to figure out how John Swofford set up that grant of rights. I mean, he snuck that on everybody. Not that most teams didn't want to do it. I just, you know, I thought of FSU, maybe a few others that would be willing to look around a little bit. And maybe they did. I think at the end of the day, they probably at least thought about it.
Right.
And, you know, with the league kind of being in a vulnerable state. Well, I take that back. I don't know if they were ever really vulnerable. They only lost Maryland. That was the only team. But, they, you know, I think that getting Notre Dame for five, even though it's only five games in football, I think that was really significant. It was kind of underplayed a little bit nationally as far as the stability of the league. I thought that was pretty crucial. But, you know, they're in good shape now. They have to win games, but, you know, they have time to do that now. You know, they don't have to look over their shoulders. So it's a huge deal for them to go into this season with some confidence.
Because around December, as the regular season's winding down and, the conference championship time, I remember that week, you know, that's when the reports are that more than anything, you've got the Big Ten – potentially looking, you know, after they've added Maryland and Rutgers, 15 and 16 seemed very, you know, very likely almost there for a couple days. And we thought that Georgia Tech, North Carolina, Virginia, I mean, there were a lot of schools in the ACC, charter members even, that, you know, the lines were being drawn by a lot of people to the Big Ten.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I was thinking back at that and talking to some people about that in hindsight. I'm here in Big Ten country a little bit, and, you know, I think Georgia Tech, I don't know if that one would have happened. I think UNC was the one they really wanted. If they could have picked one school, that would have been undeniably the one they wanted. I just think the UNC, even though it's not in a huge market per se, you can sell it everywhere. And, Georgia Tech just didn't bring necessarily that Atlanta market for the Big Ten network.
Right.
So, but I don't know. I don't know how interested UNC really was in that. I think some of that was overblown. I mean, the ACC was in a tough position because they were hearing from their schools that hey, you have my word, we want to stay. But they were smart to get it locked down because you can't just take anybody for their word anymore. You know, you have to have it contractually done. I give them credit for being really proactive.
Yeah, no, John Swofford knew that if this was, you know, in my mind, I was like, all right, what's driving conference realignment? TV money. What does the grant of rights do? It makes you give back all your TV money. Nobody's going to do that, and so therefore, you've got everything locked in and stable.
Yeah, no doubt. And the thing that's interesting to remember is, and I don't know how much Swofford in his sales pitch, well, even if he needed a sales pitch, but to convince all his schools to sign a grant of rights, how much he played up the ACC network, it sounds like a lot, because the day the grant of rights came out, all these ADs and presidents were talking about this great ACC network. I'm not convinced yet that that's going to happen. I think it could, but it's going to take a lot of time, and I could very well see a scenario where the ACC moves forward with its current deal and never does a network once they weigh the pros and cons. But it was funny because everybody coming out of that grant of rights was talking about how this ACC network is going to eventually happen. It might, but there's a lot more that goes into it. You know, how much can you really sell outside of North Carolina, Virginia, you know, maybe Florida, a few other spots. You know, it's a tough proposition. And then, you know, you're locked in with ESPN, who's already putting a lot of time into the ACC network. I think it could happen, but I'm not convinced it will. I just wonder how much, when Swofford was locking these schools up, how much he was talking to them about the ACC network, and if that was some sort of stipulation,
right,
for signing.
Well, if you want to make the ACC a national product, a big part of that is going to be having your Florida States, your Clemson, you know, competing right there in the top 10, top 15, maybe even entering the national title race. Miami, like we said, a little bit on the arrow up. Do you think that the quote-unquote second-rate sort of reputation for ACC, a conference that exists very much also in SEC country, you know, is it going to be possible to step out from that shadow, in your mind, just the way these programs are directed?
Well, they're still top-heavy until they prove otherwise.
Yeah.
And there's a chance for that. Yeah, I look at North Carolina. They recruit very well. I look at teams that can get elite talent. North Carolina, Virginia Tech. I think Virginia is vastly untapped. You know, I mean, they've underachieved big time. I mean, that's a place I think you can actually win, and they just haven't done it. But the problem is, you still have schools that despite their academic success, despite maybe basketball success at times, and the occasional football breakout, I just don't know if they're ever going to be football schools. They just don't have the resources poured in. You look at Wake Forest, you look at Duke, you know, Georgia Tech to a lesser extent, although they've had success in the past. But, you know, just a lot of schools in place, I just don't know. You know, they by default a little bit play into – the ACC narrative that it's just not going to be strong enough top to bottom. That can change. But,
right.
You know, right now it's the reality, you know, and you have FSU and Clemson, and then you have four or five teams there that certainly have the resources to break out. I don't want to underplay Miami, Virginia Tech, and UNC. I'll put them in there too. I know NC State's dedicated to being very good. They're willing to spend money. You know, schools like that, four of those schools certainly can make a jump at any time, but the ACC needs them to. Been waiting for a while. I mean, you know, Virginia Tech's always been there, but you know, they had a bad season at probably the worst possible time for the league. You know, they needed Tech to be better in 2012.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go to some of the on the field for 2013. Jeremy, give me one team that you think in the ACC is being slept on a little bit and will surprise people, and one team that you think maybe the fans and or pundits are a little bit too high on them, and in the first couple weeks we'll see them come back to earth.
Well, this is almost a multi-tiered sleeper pick, because if you want just a mild sleeper that's not really necessarily a surprise, but I think could actually be a contender for their division, is UNC.
Right.
A quarterback, Renner, I think he's pretty sharp. I think he had a pretty big summer. He's got some people to throw to. They've recruited well there. You know, offensive line's kind of a question mark, but they always get talent. But Maryland, I think Maryland's a major sleeper. I could be dead wrong on this, but digs all day. They can't have the same luck they had last year. It's metabolically impossible.
Yeah, well, the injury bug went from Maryland and just went south to Blacksburg, and it's just the injury bug is just chomping down on Virginia Tech now. That's Maryland's woes from last year. Now it's down in Blacksburg.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. I know. I kind of feel for Tech right now with that game they have coming up. But, Maryland's a team that, you know, I think Edsel's actually a pretty sharp coach. Nobody would have won under those circumstances last year. That defense is, you know, it was pretty solid. They lose a lot of parts, but I think they'll be fine. You know, C.J. Brown, the quarterback, he's a question mark, but at least he should be he should provide stability there for once. You know, I think that they could just be in that 7-5 range. You know, I think that it could be right there. If you're looking for a team that could drastically fall off, and not that they were that high in the first place, but I think NC State's going to have a rough year. I just think they're really young, and I think they know it.
Right.
And then, you know, Brissett, the transfer quarterback from Florida, has got to sit a year. It's just going to take a little bit of time. I think Dave Doran's a sharp coach. He's going to do well there. It's just going to take till year two or so to get it going. I think they could be in for a rough year.
Yeah, I think that, you know, especially when you see the way that sort of the depth chart has been shaking out and some of the players that are named, it's almost as though Dave Doran really is going to follow that path that you often see in coaching transitions, which is the guys that he brings to the program – he believes fit the mold, and the guys that were left over from the previous regime, in this case Tom O'Brien and particularly Dana Bible's offense, you know, maybe they don't quite fit where Doran wants them, and it would not surprise me, like you said, for there to be flashes of everything clicking. I think their defense will be all right this year, particularly you get DJ Green back at linebacker and a pretty good defensive line. But NC State, I'm very interested to see what happens with them in Raleigh.
Right, and you know better than I do. Off the top of my head, I'm forgetting, but they've got a few transfer quarterbacks, one of which can play this year. Who is that?
Well, they've got Brandon Mitchell and Pete Thomas. Pete Thomas was from Colorado State. Brandon Mitchell's from Arkansas, and Dave Doran could end up using both of them. I don't think he feels great about either one right now.
Right, but I think that will at least help. That's better than what they had.
Right,
I'll put it that way. Or based on my understanding, I think they were not high in their situation before those guys came in. At least they have something to work with. But yeah, it's such a delicate balance for these new coaches, because you're right, you need to cleanse your entire program and find the right fit for how you want to run things, but then you might not have enough time to do that if you have two bad years now. The leash is so short. You know, I think they're going to give Doran time, especially this is Debbie Yow's hire. You know, she's going to give Doran at least 3 years to get this going.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And then one other, you know, you mentioned North Carolina. I will say North Carolina, that it is a hot, easy target to, especially when you've got Fedora's, you know, up-tempo offense, which I do agree. I think Bryn Renner, he's going to have quick decision-making. He's going to get the ball out quickly. They're going to chew up defenses, you know, 4 to 12 yards at a time with that quick passing game. But giving the ball right back to the other team, you know, I look back at that Maryland game, the Georgia Tech game last year, where the offense is doing their job and defense just has got to step up. And that, I think that's going to be huge, because I, too, see the Tar Heels. You know, that's a 6-2, 5-3 in-conference team, but so is Georgia Tech, and also so is Miami.
Right. Yeah, you got to remember Virginia Tech, too. I don't know if they're going away despite the injuries. You know, the defense has to come first. You know, they get that hybrid, 4-2-5.
Yeah, they do the 4-2-5 with one linebacker strong safety, one linebacker defensive end.
Right. It didn't work for them, but it sounds like they're going to stay true to it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It can't be much worse.
Yeah.
You know, at least they had that going for them. I mean, I don't think they're going to give up 60 every game. What, they give up 50 to Georgia Tech, I think it was.
Yeah.
No, 68. 68. So, that's the problem with the no huddle in a lot of cases, is that your defense is always going to be vulnerable. It happened at Oklahoma State last year. You can only apply so much pressure on them. I think you want to run 85, 90 plays so you can tell recruits, hey, look how many plays we run, and you can put up a lot of points, but then on the other end, you're just going to give it up. So, you know, I think North Carolina has to find a balance. I think that's where a good quarterback can come into play. They can balance that for you a little bit. Not necessarily try not to score, but
ball control.
They can control the ball, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, take 20 seconds on the clock a few times when necessary, things like that. I mean, you know, if you're driving, you can kind of sense when to pull back and when to go forward. Renner's fascinating, though, because he's a pro-style guy coming out. Now he's in Fedora's offense, but I think he's sharp enough to handle it.
All right, so I may have tipped my hand by not mentioning Virginia Tech, but I am very, very concerned about Virginia Tech's depth issues as the injury bug just Ronnie Van Dyke out, Tony Gregory out, both for the season. You've got offensive line depth concerns where highly touted defensive linemen are needing to be moved to the offensive line. You know, we're sitting here in mid-August making these changes. Wide receivers, you know, there are a lot of things that are not proven yet. I am very concerned that the Hokies might end up getting beat pretty badly when they face Alabama on that first Saturday.
Yeah, they're going to have to put Logan Thomas in a chamber for the next 2 weeks just to keep him safe, because it's like the one guy they have left that hasn't been hurt, it seems like. Lost two of their top four offensive tackles. Had to move a defensive guy over, a freshman that's going to be basically a second-string tackle. It's crazy. I mean, and Anton Exum being out hurts them, because between Exum and Kyle Fuller, who some people think is the best defensive player in the league, you know, they had a really good cornerback tandem. Now they're going to have one of those guys for that game. Frank's dealt with this before, injuries happen, but I'd like to see some context as to how bad he's had it before compared to this year.
Yeah.
Especially this is just an outbreak. You feel for him a little bit. You really do, because
they need a good year.
Yeah. They need a good year. Apparently they had a really tough offseason. I mean, they made a lot of changes. Frank was open, opened things up to his coaching staff for new ideas, how to run practices. Logan Thomas worked really hard to improve his mechanics. This is a team that sensed urgency, and they still do. I think they're going to show up in part because here's the tricky part. Okay, I look at Bud Foster's defense, a little similar to what Greg Madison does at Michigan. They're always tough-minded, always play well. But then they got blown out against Alabama last year, and I think Alabama's going to actually be better this year. So that's what's tough for Virginia Tech. I'd like to say the defense with Bud Foster is going to stand strong, but it's just hard to say. I'd love to be a contrarian and say Alabama's going to struggle. But, you know, they're better than they were last year.
Yeah.
This might be the best team Saban's had at Alabama.
And having new fresh faces in the secondary, including Fuller's little brother, you know, that's going to be quite a trial by fire for them.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they're playing a lot of young players right now. And I don't know. Thomas is going to have a big game. What did they name a walk-on running back, a starter now? You know, it's a tough deal. For Shane Beamer, the running backs coach right now. A lot of moving parts. But, you know, I think they'll show up. But they're going to be mismatched in parts. Now, luckily for them, at least, Alabama replaces, I think, three defensive linemen, and that's maybe where the biggest struggle could be for them. They have plenty of talent there, certainly, but, you know, they're a little improvement on the defensive line. Maybe that will help, and Virginia Tech will be getting them at the right time.
More likely to win on that opening weekend, North Carolina at South Carolina or Clemson hosting Georgia, and why?
That's a tough one. The thing is, I'm pretty high on Georgia. I mean, I'm just not sold yet on Clemson's defense. I don't know about you, but I just, you know, time over time, they just had these talented players that really haven't fulfilled their potential. Maybe this is a year for that. I'll go Clemson. I mean, they're at home. Georgia's going to have a young defense. But the thing is, from what I've heard, despite that young defense, they have so much talent. Jordan Jenkins, guys like that coming up, he's going to replace Jarvis Jones. They have a lot of really talented guys like that that can make you forget about the players last year, to be honest. So I think the defense – I don't think Clemson's just going to hang 50 on them like some people think, just because – so I think it's going to be tight. But South Carolina, you know, they're going to be pretty good. I just – neutral site – I'm going to go Clemson. That really is a tough one, though, because I think UNC is going to be pretty solid. I'll go Clemson.
Yeah, I think that Georgia-Clemson is – that one's completely up for grabs due to both defenses. And while the young talent might be there, it's also going to be a lot of players taking the field for the first time in a hostile Death Valley against an offense where you make one wrong read and you're burned for 80 yards.
Oh, no doubt.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, Boyd and Watkins, they're going to have a synergy this year, I think. You know, Sammy seems refocused. I would give the nod to Clemson.
All right, I'll send you out of here on this. For your Power Five, who do you think are the five teams, no particular order, but five teams that actually have a legit shot at winning the ACC title?
Yep, we'll start FSU, Clemson, Miami.
All right.
Virginia Tech and UNC. Those are my five.
No Georgia Tech love.
I'm not high on them. I don't know. I mean, they're just so limited defensively because they practice a triple option in practice. There's only certain things you can't simulate. You know, they're not facing these no huddle offenses, these pass heavy offenses in practice. I think it hurts their defense.
Where are you going to be for the opening weekend?
I'll actually be at Alabama Virginia Tech. I'll be there in Atlanta. Yeah, it's a good. I think it's 5:30 kickoff. Should be pretty good. You know, I'm hoping for a good game. I think everybody is, but I'm skeptical as well.
Well, you'll also be able to get. After you get everything done, hopefully the Clemson Georgia game will just be still in the second quarter as each team is just running down on the other, just scoring touchdowns and putting up basketball scores.
I could probably just drive over there, too. It's like 2 hours if I can make it by the fourth quarter.
Yeah, definitely. Well, anyway, folks, remember, you can follow Jeremy Fowler on Twitter at JFowlerCBS. He is where you go for all of the breaking news that we have about college football here at CBSSports.com. Jeremy, I'm sorry that we were not able to do the two-a-days. It's just one podcast for today, but I'll look forward to doing more this season.
Sounds good. Appreciate it, Chip.
Remember, you can get all the Eye on College Football podcasts by going to iTunes. Be sure to rate, review, subscribe, and you'll be getting them before we're posted on the site. For Jeremy Fowler, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks for listening.